The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome back to the First Cut Podcast. My name is Kyle Porter. It's a family affair on the First Cut Podcast today. We've got Mark Immelman, who is a regular on here. Mark, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much. How are you today?
I'm good. And we've also got Masters champion, wine connoisseur, and newly named President's Cup international captain, Trevor Immelman. Trevor, how are you doing?
Hey, Kyle. How's it going, man? It's great to join you guys.
I'm good. What is, you know, it's such a whirlwind to be named the International President's Cup captain. What has there been a moment that you've had to yourself over these last few days where you just sat down and you're like, wow, this is crazy. I'm the youngest to ever do this. I'm following Ernie Els's footsteps. Have you had kind of a moment to yourself where you've been able to kind of take it all in and internalize all of that?
I actually have, particularly because, you know, with the situation that the world is in right now, we're having to spend so much time at home. So I absolutely have had a few moments where I've sat back and, you know, maybe been working on, some of the things that we're going to be rolling out over the next few days. And for sure, it's hit me. You know, it's an amazing honor. Something that I'm absolutely humbled by and really can't wait to get things going. The few times that I've had the opportunity as a golfer to be part of a team, you know, it's not something that we get to experience all that often as golfers, but the few times that I have, I've just absolutely loved it. And so for me to have the ability to lead a group of world-class golfers like this is going to be awesome. I cannot wait.
Hey, Trev, you and I caught up yesterday, and I'm obviously over the moon for you. I mean, what an honor. And I mentioned this to you, and you were sort of quite humble in your response to me. So I want to ask you again. You look through the list of international team captains, and you've got Peter Thomson and Gary Player and Nick Price and Ernie Els, and it's a roll of Hall of Fame guys. And I said to you, I mean, like, you're a member of the Masters Club fraternity, which is a special group of golfers, and now you're a group of these, you're part of these legends. Put that into words, please.
Yeah, it looks like our team is making a bit of a U-turn, because I'm not quite that Hall of Fame caliber, but it absolutely is, quite humbling when I see that. Definitely sort of rocks me back in my feet to obviously know the history of our team and the captains that have come before me that have tried to shepherd our team, to winning this trophy, which, you know, we haven't quite frankly been very good at. But, something I really know a lot about being part of the leadership team for our previous President's Cup down in Australia was how much work that Ernie and the rest of us put into it to try and bridge the gaps, come up with a plan for the future. Something that we can build off of. And I must be honest, Mark, the work that Ernie put in and the platform that he built for us, he invested so much of himself because he just, thought that we had to come up with a blueprint that could work going forward. And man, it almost did. We were right there knocking on the door on Sunday and unfortunately just came up a little bit short. But we learned so much as a group, as a leadership group, but also as a team in general. And we'll hopefully be putting all of that to slightly better use coming down the stretch on Sunday in Charlotte. And we'll have a chance to actually get over that final hurdle, which is, massive goal for all of us.
Yeah, as a quick follow-up to that, Ernie has been a dear friend and a mentor to you. Mr. Player has been to both of us. From the team room, was there something that you took from Ernie Els's leadership that you might parlay when you take up the reins in just a little while?
Well, absolutely. You're learning all the time, watching all sorts of different leaders in all sorts of different environments. And, you've got to put your own spin on it so that you can be authentic and so that your message comes through with the correct emotion at that particular moment. But, with Ernie, he had so many things, I thought, to his advantage being a leader. I mean, the guy is just a massive human being. He has an incredible presence about him. And so straight away, when he walks into the room, you can just feel that he's there. And, Ernie in general is not really a big talker. He doesn't talk much. He doesn't talk about himself very much. He rather just lets everything unfold. And when he gets on the golf course, lets his skill do the talking. But that week, the times that he did speak up and the times that he did say something, it was so impactful on our group. It was so much fun to be a part of. As somebody that's known him since I was a little kid and spend a ton of time with him, I was so proud of the way he handled that, the leadership that he showed, and the way that he took our team into his mind when we were in the locker room, the experiences that he was telling us about, the way that he was explaining to our players how to play Royal Melbourne and how to pick that course apart to where you can really be a little bit more aggressive at times. It was such a great experience. And, those are kinds of things that I'll be trying to learn from and put my own spin on it. But I would say this, that, he's built such a nice platform for us to kick on from. Every single one of the players that was on that team knows exactly what our formula is. And so I don't think I'll have to get that jockey's whip out too much for these guys.
Trevor, do you think the President's Cup over the years has become more important to the players that make the team? Because I think sometimes you look at it, or I look at it from the U.S. perspective, and I'm like, well, I don't know if that's ever going to be as important to the U.S. guys as the Ryder Cup. Maybe it is someday. But do you see in the players over the course of the last, 20, 25 years, has it become a more important thing that they're more invested in?
Yeah, I absolutely do think so. Kyle, anything that's going to be created like that, it's going to have to take a little bit of time to start to set some roots and grow into something special. And so, if you're comparing the President's Cup to other team events, it's still so very young. But absolutely, the players, particularly from our side, that only get this opportunity every couple of years, it's different to the American team that gets to play in some type of cup every year. I think it's becoming more and more important. And I think what happened in Melbourne at the end of last year was perfectly timed from a standpoint of a team of internationals coming in there. Shucks, you got to remember something. Our average world ranking on our team was 42.5. And the average world ranking of the American team was 12.5. So, we came in there as giant underdogs. And for us to actually step up against a formidable opponent and come so close to creating such a massive upset, I think that was a shot in the arm for the President's Cup. And I think that'll create some nice excitement going into the next one at another iconic venue in Charlotte, at Quail Hollow, a venue that is important to the PGA Tour and a great sporting town. I think it's going to be a great spectacle there.
Well, and by that time, Sung J.M. will be like a 5-time major winner. So it'll be.
I hope so.
Trev, I'm going to let you in that Kyle heads up the Jordan Spieth fan club, and he's the vice chairman of the Sung J.M. fan club.
Nice. I like it. That kid, he is such a special talent. And I got such a kick out of spending time with him leading up to the event. And obviously, while we were down there, because he is just so humble and so eager to learn. He's just like a sponge. And everything that we would say, he was just, you could see it, him taking it in, taking it in. And he absolutely thrived on the opportunity to play on a golf course like that against the best players in the world. And it really was, in a certain sense, like a coming out party for him to get that much attention, be able to prove to himself that he can stand up to that pressure and deliver. And I think it's a huge catalyst in why some of these guys, you look how our team has played since then, you know, Cameron Smith winning, Adam Scott winning, Sung Jae winning, so many of the guys playing well. And then you have other guys knocking on the door, Nick Taylor from Canada winning at the AT&T Pebble Beach. You got a young South African, Eric Van Rooyen. There's a number of other youngsters that are also knocking on the door now and hopefully make a nice run at getting onto this team.
Trev, you mentioned these youngsters, and we are thankful for your time. Just a few minutes left. You, in your first President's Cup, got picked by Gary Player. I mean, that's got to be the honor of all honors coming for a South African. I want you to share quick thoughts on you as now the captain, picking a few aspirin youngsters to be a part of your lineup.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting time. I think the most important thing for me is just going to be trying to find the right blend with the guys that are going to automatically qualify, and then filling up that team with people that I think, number one, are going to bring a nice excitement to our team room. How are they going to add to our team from a mental and emotional standpoint? How do they play at Quail Hollow? Does their game suit that kind of a setup? So it's something that, you know, is going to be a massive decision for me. And, you know, I'll be leaning on the assistants that I eventually name, and we'll make sure that we gather all the correct information and make the best decision possible.
Trevor, I want to ask you real quick, just how strange is it? I know the last time that we talked, that we had kind of alluded to, you know, getting your game ready for Augusta and playing the Masters this year. How weird is it for it to be the first full week in April and to not be down there, to be sitting in your house, albeit it's cool because you're talking about the President's Cup and being the captain, but just how weird is it to not be in Augusta?
Yeah, so weird, Kyle. But, you know, the last month has been so weird that it's sort of just one of those things that you're rolling with right now. But yeah, you know, when you look over the course of my career, I played my first Masters in 1999. And so, you know, this time in April has been a huge part of my life and my career, making that trip up to Georgia and getting to play in a tournament that has always been my favorite. So yeah, a little bit, unnerving really at times to know that the event is not going on this week. But like I touched on earlier, what the world is going through right now is just man, it's unprecedented, and your heart goes out to everybody that's being affected by this virus, and we hope that we can get through this thing as quick as we can and you know, hold on to that schedule that we saw announced yesterday. I thought it was a nice little distraction to get some good news out of that schedule that was announced, and we'll hold thumbs so we can get the PGA Tour back up and running and back to Augusta in November.
Talking of November, Trev, I know you've had a lot on your mind. Have you given some thought to the Masters and what that course will play like in early November?
Yeah, I have. You know, I've been fortunate enough to play it a number of times that time of year. It will be different. You just look at the weather. I think that's going to be the main factor. From an actual golf course standpoint, if the golf course was in a bubble, so to speak, I don't think the course itself, from a setup standpoint, will be all that different. But I think Mother Nature is going to play a huge role. You know, you're looking at average temperatures in April right around 80 degrees, high 70s, and then average temperatures in November in the low 60s. And so, you know, that temperature change is a massive difference on the distance that the ball flies. And particularly with those colder temperatures, you're looking at that northerly wind coming in, which drastically changes the course compared to the way we played in April, when for the most part we get some type of southerly. So you look at the differences. Number one is going to be an absolute beast playing into some kind of wind. You got 17 and 18 playing into the wind with some kind of northerly. I think the most important change from a scoring perspective is that when that wind does switch to that northerly, you're going to have three of the four par fives playing into some kind of wind. And when we think about Augusta National and the Masters, and particularly the play on the second nine in on the weekend, you know, all those roars from the patrons is about the birdies and the eagles on the par fives. So maybe not quite the same scoring opportunities on the fives when in those kinds of conditions. So it's going to be interesting to see. But I also think it's going to have, you know, there's so much mystique about Augusta National and the Masters. And winning that tournament, you know, never mind winning, playing in that tournament is like a career-defining moment. Can you only imagine being the first champion of the Masters to win in November? I mean, that would add something even more special. It would be like the greatest trivia question of all time, you know? So it's just so nice right now to have something to look forward to. And so, yeah, holding thumbs that we can get through this and move on as a world and start getting back to, you know, some of the things that we really love about our lives.
Yeah, hey, and go world at the President's Cup now.
Okay. hey, Trevor, I know you got a busy day. I really appreciate your time. Your Masters win was actually the second time I had ever been to Augusta. I attended with that was the first time I had been with my dad. So I have a lot of good memories from that week. I know obviously both you and Mark do as well. So congrats on the anniversary of that. And even more congrats on being named the youngest captain of the International President's Cup team. Best of luck, and we'll talk to you soon.
Proud of you, buddy.
Thanks so much, guys. Thanks so much.
Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any US orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Okay, Mark, that was fun. By the way, congrats on getting your brother on. It took him being named the President's Cup International captain to get him on our podcast. That's unbelievable. But
I had nothing to do with this. This is our indomitable producer, Jacob Alex, who did all of the work. No, I caught when the news, Trev sent me a text yesterday. I'm dating this, but the day before this call, and And it was just the hype video that the PGA Tour had put together for the next President's Cup. And I had an inkling for a few weeks that this was happening. And when I saw this, man, I got goosebumps. And it just, it is the thrill of all thrills. I referenced some of those international team captains. I mean, think about Greg Norman, Peter Thompson, Gary Player, Nick Price, Ernie Els. I mean, these are legends of the game. And to now see my younger brother be a part of that highly decorated fraternity is the thrill of a lifetime.
Yeah, and I think my big takeaway from what he was talking about is just the time it takes to create you know, what you need at a team event like that to make it great. It does take a long time. And I think what you hear even in your questions and definitely in his answers is you hear like pride over being part of a legacy of great captains and great participants in the President's Cup. So it becomes less to me about the actual President's Cup and more about like, wow, I'm walking in the same shoes as Ernie Els or as Gary mm-hmm. Player. And I think that has become one of the preeminent things about the President's Cup, especially for the international side. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And you referenced Mr. Player. I mean, he has always held Trevor in high, high regard. And he spoke Trevor up in the biggest way as a young man coming out of South Africa. And he's always believed that Trevor had stardom inside of him. I'm sure Mr. Trevor will lean on him as he will lean on Ernie. And the one thing, as I look at that list of captains and you see these guys like a Thompson, you know, who was larger than life for the Australians, and as Greg Norman was, and then you have Gary Player and Ernie Els, the same sort of thing. Trevor will be a real player's captain. You know, he won't sort of rule from on high, if you will. I think he'll mix it up with the guys in the team room. And in the era in which we live, I think that'll be well received. I mean, he'll almost be a guy in the Steve Stricker sort of an ilk. And so I feel like, and he spoke so well about the platform Ernie had set up. And now I think Trevor will kick that on, but just be the kind of guy who will seek out perhaps the counsel of his assistant captains, definitely, but also some of the elder statesmen on his team. I mean, they're guys playing on Trevor's team and Adam Scott and company that are the same age as him, which I think is really cool. And then they can, I mean, they will feel comfortable to share their insights. And there's nothing like insight from off the golf course.
Do you think you'll be named assistant captain in the first wave or the second wave of announcements?
Me? I just want to drive a car or something. I mean, I just want to be there and just get to experience it, because golf has been so good to our family. Golf is the reason why we're in the United States, to be honest with you, and to have experienced what we have and to have looked on, you know, sometimes with a front row seat to what Trevor's achieved, and now this President's Cup, which is a big deal. You asked about it for the world. This is a big deal, and it's gaining traction now. So to be close and watch it will be lots of fun.
I was just looking through the former captains on the international side. I think it's only Trevor and Gary Player that have won a Masters and captained the international team for the President's Cup.
Well, you talk about that list of Masters. I was looking through this yesterday morning, and there are some names in the Hall of Fame that never won a Masters. Montgomery, Norman, DiVincenzo. I mean, the list is illustrious. And you referenced the Masters. I mean, winning that event, Trevor spoke of it as his favorite event. I mean, it's a favorite event to many golfers around the world. And to win that and now be the captain – And Trevor's going to a place in Quail Hollow, which is a happy hunting ground for him. He lost in a playoff there to David Toms. And so he played real well. And then Jim Furyk, I think it was, in a playoff there on a rainy Sunday in Charlotte. And my parents lived just around the corner for a while. So it's kind of a bit of a homecoming, if you will. And so I think everything bodes well right now.
Last thing that we need to talk about, because you weren't on yesterday. It was me and Rick and Sean Martin of PGAtour.com. Mm-hmm. I gotta know, Mark, did you cry yourself to sleep knowing that the Masters would be played in November instead of April this year?
Well, we'd been opining on this for a long time, and Trevor talked about it. And when we caught up yesterday, we both sort of agreed that the news coming out was the shot in the arm that just the world, the golfing fans needed. And so, yeah, I was excited. Everyone was excited. You know, everyone was like thinking about how, this is going to be a bonanza of golf. If you think about it, you've got a US Open, a Ryder Cup, a Masters following shortly. You've got all the playoff golf coming before then, if indeed it transpires. So, yeah, I was jacked, man. And I'm looking forward to, I've said it to you guys that October is the best month for golf in Georgia. It gets a little cooler and more blustery, as Trevor points out, in November, but it's going to be incredible. It's going to be so cool.
Well, and I think, you know, I was kind of doing the math on this after our podcast yesterday, but if you go, so the PGA Championship, now again, this seems ambitious to me to be able to start it by August 6th, but it's supposed to start August 6th. If you go from August 6th of 2020 to like August 1 of 2021, you've got two PGAs. You got two PGAs, two Masters, two US Opens, an Open Championship, a Ryder Cup, and an Olympics. So
that's why I love you, Kyle, because I saw your tweet this morning. I was awake at like 4 a.m. So I was texting Jacob at a decent hour of 5:30, I think it was. And I saw your tweet and I'm like, I love this guy because he thinks like this. And you got my mind spinning, you know, as to what, as golf fans, we can look forward to over the next, what now? I mean, because it all seems so grim now.
Yeah.
But from August, if it happens through the following August, I mean, goodness gracious, I'm going to need a tranquilizer by some stage, I'm sure.
Between that and football and, yeah, you know, I thought Webb Simpson said it well yesterday. I think he said this to Todd Lewis of Golf Channel, but he was just talking about, look, just having dates on the schedule is motivating and hopeful. Now, whether they transpire, again, I have no idea. I don't know that anybody truly knows how this is going to go, but just the fact that they're on there gives you something. It removes some of the ambiguity. And I think you've heard that from guys is like, I'm not practicing because I don't know what I'm practicing for. I don't know when I'm ever going to play again, which sounds crazy, but it was true up until yesterday. Finally, you've got some solid dates on the schedule that hopefully take place later on this year.
And wasn't it just so perfect that Augusta National and the tour would release this on Masters Monday, you know, one of the great Mondays in golf on the calendar, and this news comes out, and then to Trevor's announcement on Tuesday morning, which I believe, as far as I know, was supposed to come out a little earlier, but they just pushed this, and the timing of it all was perfect, and it does give folks hope, and hope is what galvanizes, and hope is what drives the young guy or the young girl to the practice tee to go and practice that putt to win the Masters or whatever. You know, everyone lives in hope, and so I think the hope is a big part of it, and now I can sense a renewed energy in not just the golfing world, because this announcement was made and all the other sports are waiting too. So I think this is a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, that's all we got today. We got a ton coming up the rest of the week as we continue our Masters week. We've got an interview with Ian Poulter. I think Rick is like simulating the Masters on his spreadsheets and Xbox. And I don't know.
Is it on the YouTube?
I think whoever wins might actually go down as an official Masters winner. So that's fun for him.
Knowing Rick, he must get an iridescent jacket. Or what color is the jacket?
Yeah, it's like day glow green, I think. You can go back. We had a couple of pods yesterday talking about what did we talk about? We talked about Masters facts. We talked about the new PGA Tour schedule announcement. And then follow us on Twitter and Instagram. I know you're on Instagram, Mark, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I'm trying to make my way on Instagram with these Insta lives and all this sort of stuff. You know, let's not forget, folks, I'm 49. But in my head, I think I'm about 29.
Yeah, well, I think we're all there. So you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at First Cut Pod. And that's where producer Jacob is pumping out all our contacts. So, content. He's been awesome with that. And you should follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Mark, we will talk soon. And happy Masters Week, even though the golf isn't being played.
It's Masters Tuesday, isn't it great? I've got my Masters t-shirt on. I've got my Masters mug, filled with coffee. It's going to be a good day, Kyle.
I miss being there, but it's still fun to talk to you. We'll talk soon, Mark.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.